Hello, my name is Reverend Seth Nelson, and I am the pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Ronan, Montana. Join in weekly to hear the good news of God's love proclaimed over your life. You can follow us on Podbean and iTunes. God bless you this day.
A reading from the prophet Amos, chapter 6, verses 1 and 4 through 7. Alas, for those who are at ease in Zion, and for those who feel secure on Mount Samaria. Alas, for those who lie in beds of ivory, and lounge on their couches, and eat lambs from the flock and calves from the stall, who sing idle songs to the sound of the harp, and like David improvise on instruments of music, who drink wine from bowls, and anoint themselves with the finest oils, but are not grieved over the ruin of Joseph. Therefore, they shall now be the first to go into exile, and the revelry of the loungers shall pass away. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wealth has a funny, deceptive allure, doesn't it? If we took a straw poll of everyone listening to this, I would not be surprised if everyone would say that they could use a few more dollars in their pockets, in their bank accounts, or in their piggies, as my daughter called her coin bank last week. With a little more, maybe then you would feel like you have enough. There's a lot of evidence to suggest that we are not wrong to think that having a little more would solve a lot of our problems. Financial stress usually ranks as the number one contributor to marital struggles and divorce. Perhaps if more couples had more money, they would not have as much to fight about. The long, copious hours that many of us have to put in simply to get by in America are shown to dramatically increase heart problems, stress levels, and sleep deprivation, while dramatically decreasing the time that we can spend with family and friends. Maybe if we had a little more money, we would not have to work so hard, and we could live healthier lives. None of this is to speak of the simple peace of mind that comes with knowing you can cover your bills if your life gets upended somehow. There are a lot of reasons to believe that a little more can help with a lot of our problems. I, for one, used to dream of winning the lottery. This is a little weird since I have actually never, ever bought a lottery ticket. I think I was once given a scratch-off ticket for my birthday, but that is about the extent of my actual participation in the lottery system. Still, in moments of financial frustration, having to dig deep to pay all my bills in and out of college, I would find myself thinking, wouldn't it be nice to have a couple million dollars to just take care of all my material problems? This line of thinking was much the same as my elementary school friends and me dreaming of being NFL players as we threw a football around during recess. I suppose we wanted to be famous, strong, and athletic. But even as second and third graders, we were being sold the trappings of immense fortune that comes with multi-million dollar contracts. Throughout time, but especially in this country in the 21st century, wealth has been lifted up as an idol, one that if worshipped will help us to realize our dreams. But it is both a false idol and is one that is worshipped at the expense of the poor. I say it is a false idol because, for instance, lottery winners are the single highest demographic of people who file for bankruptcy, followed closely by professional athletes with large, short-lived careers in the national arena, like NFL players. Winning the lottery does not free people of financial worry, but brings many people to financial ruin. Realizing dreams of playing in the Super Bowl, the NBA playoffs, the Stanley Cup, or winning an NFR championship belt buckle brings new worries about what to do with the sudden influx of cash that comes with these victories, and how to hold on to it after one's career is done. Yet, in spite of the realities of divorce, depression, bankruptcy, and addictions, that thrive among the super wealthy. Still, they are put on a pedestal as ones who have their lives together, while the poor among us are often looked down upon and even outright despised for their poverty. Many are under the impression that wealthy individuals have lives that just come together and work for them. The phrase living the good life conjures up images of limitless money and luxury, not home-cooked meals or hard work. Conversely, the poor are looked down upon for their inability to provide for themselves or others, even though many of them are born into poverty situations and have done their best to work hard while struggling to pay bills. The quote-unquote less fortunate, as the poor among us are often labeled, still work hard as wages have stagnated for the last 50 years, while various costs of living have skyrocketed. Wealth has a funny way of drawing us in and making us think more is always better, while tempting us to think that those with less are worth less. Similar things seem to have been going on among the ancient kingdoms of Israel and Judah as they lived through their time of greatest abundance and wealth during those ancient centuries. They seemed to think that because they were wealthy, they were worth more. And even worse, they seemed to believe that because they were wealthy, God favored them more than others. While they became more settled and the kingdoms grew, the rich grew richer while the poor remained poor. Archaeological digs from Samaria and Tirzah, two ancient capitals of the northern kingdom of Israel, reveal stark contrast between the neighborhoods of the 10th century BC and 200 years later in the 8th century when Amos prophesied. In the 10th century, around the time that the Israelites settled in the land, houses were found to be of roughly equal size throughout the communities. 200 years later, though, in the 8th century, there were sections of large, grandiose houses coupled together in big neighborhoods, while the majority of homes in those cities were small and cramped together. The rich got rich at the expense of the poor. It is to these realities that Amos prophesied, "Alas for those who are at ease in Zion, for those who feel secure on Mount Samaria. They shall now be the first to go into exile, and the revelry of the loungers shall pass away." Amos, the shepherd prophet that God called out from the country to condemn the excesses and disparities of the urban elite, proclaimed that the wealth of the Israelites of his day was not something to be celebrated. It was something to be mourned. In the short term, they lived the high life. The passage says that the people were at ease in Zion and on Mount Samaria, the capitals of Judah and Israel. It says that they slept on beds of ivory, lounged on their couches, ate lamb and beef, and sat around all day making music, drinking wine, and anointing themselves with the finest oils. They did all of this while their neighbors in the surrounding countryside were being conquered and brutalized by foreign enemies. They cared only for their own comforts, without any regard for their neighbor. And for this reason, they were the first to go into exile and have their revelry pass away as they were trampled underfoot by the Assyrians. The wealth and comfort of the moment that they enjoyed at the expense of the poor would prove to be a false idol that could not protect them from their enemies. We should heed the words of the prophet Amos today too, and resist repeating the sins of the Israelites and the Judeans. We are called to live faithful, generous, service-oriented lives. God commands that we love our neighbors as ourselves, making sure that our neighbors are fed, clothed, and housed, just as we want these basic necessities for ourselves. We are commanded to respect others and treat them with dignity, no matter what they have been through, how poor they are, or what color their skin is, because God loves and favors all of us equally. We are never to become wealthy at the expense of the poor, but use what we have earned and been given to make sure that our neighbors are taken care of, just as we care for ourselves. The good news for today is that we do not need to make idols for ourselves, because God is real and God promises to provide for us through thick and thin in this life and the next. Though our houses may not be the biggest on the block, our cars the nicest in the fleet, or our clothes the most chic, our lives are secure when our trust is in the Lord. St. Augustine wrote, "The heart is restless until it rests in you, Lord. The heart is restless until it rests in you, Lord." A quote that I have found to resound with eternal truth. The world will not give us all that we need. And if we only look to what we can own to bring us contentment, we will always be restless and left wanting more. On the other hand, God will always find ways to ease our restlessness and reassure us that we are already cared for and supported more than we know. And because God promises that we are cared for already, we are then freed to turn around and help our neighbors with the generosity that would make Amos, the shepherd prophet, proud. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
I hope that you've enjoyed this week's sermon podcast. If you would like to hear more, read my blog, or get a copy of my book called The Church Unknown, go to www.revsethnelson.com. If you feel called to support our ministry, I invite you to go to our church's website at flcronan.org and click on the Offerings tab. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor.